Hey guys, we are in a festive studio. We hit the balloons. As you can see, I like yellow, okay? Being in politics and government for so many years, can I say how many times I get sick of looking at red, white, and blue?
It's so true.
Cameron?
Honestly, the colors do, I don't think, go very well together on clothing. I do not wear, but the flag looks great.
The flag, we honor the flag. Yeah. We are so thankful for the flag. But yeah, being around government and politics, you have a very political family, your parents, Rick and Kara Green. You know, we've been around this for a long time, and yeah, there's a lot of fun red, white, and blue outfits out there, right?
You can get crazy with it. You can have bedazzled.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, we're having a party, you know, think of dinner and a movie where we're popcorn and Dr. Pepper as we do intros and outros to our videos from the Wake Up Conference last year. One of my favorite messages from the Wake Up Conference last year was by one of our National Advisory Board members, Doug Stringer. Doug is the president of Somebody Cares International down in Houston. This is an international ministry. If you want a humanitarian ministry to pour money into that's going to be there when there's tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, Somebody Cares does that around the world. But what I love about Doug, number one, he received me as a young person just getting into full-time ministry and said, I want to help you. I believe in you, Bunny. But what I love about Doug and Lisa and their family is these people have a passion for the Word of God, passion for prayer, and they're going hard after the Lord all the time. Doug is about the harvest, and he's about bringing people together regardless of denominations and across every line. This man ministers the grace of God. Cameron, how should we be salt and light in our communities? And what did you get out of Doug's message we're about to share?
Got so much out of it. Funny little point. I did not know who he was, and I was cleaning up my bookshelf the other day and I was just trying to organize, and I saw this book, Leadership Awakening by Doug Stringer, and I had brought it from my hometown, Dripping Springs, back with me to my home in Arkansas, and because I wanted to read it at some point, but it was on the bookshelf for a long time, and I was going through, and I was like, do I need this? I just have so many books, but I decided I'm just going to keep it, and then I watched the video, the one that y'all are about to see, and heard about his book, and so I am going to read his book now, Leadership Awakening.
It's one of the best leadership books I've ever read.
Wow.
And I could have Doug speak on that too, but I specifically asked him to speak at the conference on his book, Mending the Net, because it not only tells his story of when he was young on the streets of Houston, leading people to Jesus, but he shows how when the body of Christ comes together in a city and unites around one purpose, and we stop competing with each other, but we start looking for where we can complement each other, right?
Yes.
We can actually impact a city and we can impact a state. And some of the things that the Lord's doing right now, Cameron, is breaking down those walls, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's really so simple. Like just the Word of God, when the Lord talks about the body, you know, being members of one another. And I think it's Romans 12. But Jesus is the head. And I've heard often how Jesus, as he's the head, like he has full control. He is the eyes, like he's the mouth. So we listen to his word.
Yes.
And as you just pray the word of God, and that's exactly what Doug's talking about, but it's all rooted in that foundational piece of scripture of we are members of one another. And so as you just start meditating on the word and say, Lord, show me how I am a member of this brother and sister, or grow us into maturity into the head who is Jesus. That is where the power is praying the word of God.
So good. And you guys are going to be so blessed by this message by Doug Stringer.
Yeah.
So hang on for 17 minutes of glory here and listen to this message. You will be really blessed. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
I'm so thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us.
Well, look at somebody next to you and say, worship was just for you. And now look at somebody on the other side of you and say, the rest is for me. You know, we've heard it said quite a bit in the last 2 days that a church united is what it's going to take to heal a nation divided. I just came back from a ministry that we helped start 25 years ago in Tampa Bay, and I wrote about it in my book, Mending the Net. You can tie the tail of two cats together. They're united, but they're not in unity. So it's going to take more for us to get past our differences and recognize we have far more in common than we have that divides us. Over 20 years ago, I was up in Washington, D.C., and the late Dr. Bill Bright now, and the late Chuck Colson, Max Licato, Tomato, however you want to say his last name, they'd asked if I would be a part of the taping of two TV specials on the soul of America. And because I was around these giants, I wasn't saying a word. And so finally, the TV producer puts up a sign that says, Doug, speak. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to say with these giants? And so I finally said, look, we're talking about the soul of America. We know there is a battle for the soul of America. That was over 2 decades ago. And we recognize how far we've really come even since then and where we are today. We're more polarized, more divided. There's more needs. The challenge is we're not going to change the soul of a community or a nation if the church doesn't get back to the place of the proper optics and perspective and the place from a knee posture in private so we have public influence. And I really appreciate even the dynamic of Christians Engage and Bunny and your emphasis of lifting up Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so as we were talking, I just finally said, look, I believe that the only way to change the soul of a community, a city, be it urban or rural, a state or a nation, is if we have a heart awakening. And I believe that the heart of every community is the church. But if the church is weak, we need to be awakened, or we need to get a defibrillation of heart so we can be the impact of the community. Just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were in Scotland visiting one of our ministries there that's been there 20 years, and was reminded of the Hebrides revivals. And Duncan Campbell, one of the proponents of that revival, quoting Thomas Chalmers, said that revival can be defined by the impact of the personality of Christ in a community. And really what we're talking about here is impacting the spheres of the culture. We're talking about not just our geographical communities, but if we're going to impact the soul of our nation or our communities, we need to be the heart awakened, the church, crossing racial, denominational, generational lines, meeting at the cross of Christ. As an American of Asian descent, born in Japan, my dad was in the military from Texas, ergo the last name Stringer. I get this a lot when I go to Asian countries. They look at my name, Stringer from Texas, look at me. And they're thinking, how does this fit, an Asian guy with this name from Texas? Well, it's because my dad was in the military. I was born in Japan. My mother was Japanese. But realizing that even though I was born in Japan, I'm not Japanese-American first. I'm not an Asian-American first or an American of Asian descent. Because of Christ, Jesus said that my family are those who do the will of him who sent me. My first commitment is not to ethnocentricity, but it is to the centrality of the cross of Christ. I am not beholden to the party of the donkey, nor the party of the elephant. I'm beholden to the party of the lamb and the lion. That being said, I don't have to compromise my biblical views or ideologies to compromise for anyone. And if people don't agree with those ideologies, that's okay. I could still speak the truth in love, seasoned with grace, but speak the truth nonetheless. So as I began to think about this, we need a heart awakening if we're going to touch the soul of a nation. We can tie the tail of two cats together, and they're not in unity, but they are united. I was thinking of a friend who was a Baptist pastor at the time, and I wrote about it in my book, Mending the Net, and also in Leadership Awakening. And he was a Baptist pastor, and we were talking, and he said, you know, I grew up in West Texas, and we had a lot of cattle. And he said, so during Roundup time, we have blue heeler dogs. And blue healers, they live, breathe, and eat to do one thing, Roundup. So they get out and they go, go blue. And they'd go out and get the cattle and bring it back in. But one day they had a neighbor who had 500 head of cattle, but he didn't have enough blue healer dogs. And so they said, why don't we get to be neighborly? Let's partner together to help our neighbor. And so they went out, they brought all their blue healer dogs, they had their coffee, and when it was time for Roundup, these dogs who normally eat, breathe, and sleep to Roundup the cattle, when they opened the cages and the owners all said, go blue, the dogs did not go after the cattle. They went to each other because they didn't know each other. And no matter how much the voice of their owner said, go blue, they would not even listen to the voice of their owners until they were done sniffing, growling, and checking each other out. Then they finally went and did the job. See, the harvest is so big, we got to get past our sniffing, growling, and checking each other out, and let's get the job done. And that will only happen when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, in uncanny similarity, we see the destruction of Jerusalem prior to 70 AD, and the Jewish historian Josephus had talked about how the atmosphere of the time, the religious division, the political division, even families who began to come against each other, that it was so sharp it split apart families. They were in bitter contest between those that were fond of war and those that were desirous of peace. And they began to become quarrelsome, so much so that families were divided. They were divided about politics. They were divided about religious things. They were divided spiritually. And so in that context of being unstable is when Rome came in and desecrated the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. And in uncanny similarity, it seems that we are being divided and conquered. We need to be a net that is mended so the net can work together. I'm not talking about passing out business cards called networking. I'm talking about a net that really works. And for that to happen, we have to truly be mended and realize that we are a part of something greater than ourselves, bigger than the things that can divide us. You know, I was looking at a story about the redwood trees. They're some of the tallest trees in the world and some of the longest lasting and the tallest trees in the world, the oldest trees. But it's interesting, when you start taking down some redwoods, other redwood trees begin to become weak and fall. And they found that it's because the rooting system of each tree is shallow. Now, usually when you build a big building, you have to go deep in foundations to make the building taller. But redwood trees do not rely on their own self-sustainability. It relies on the rooting system of other trees. Their rooting system is so shallow, but when you go beneath the surface, they're all interconnected, holding each other up underneath the surface, what you don't see. And that's why we have to get past our sniffing, growling, and checking, realizing we're a part of a root system, that if we're going to last and we're going to be strong like the redwood trees, we need to be a people who recognize our power and our strength do not come in the works of the flesh. In fact, if you think about even the incredible worship, that's the outcome, the outward expression of what should be happening on the inside. Our private posture is what we do behind closed doors when nobody else can see that determines the power of God or lack of it in public. We need the presence of God like never before. In fact, if you look at 2 Chronicles 5, it says that when they were in the holy place, there's something about being in the holy presence of God as a church that puts aside our ethnic differences, our political differences. When you get in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God, something happens. If we create an environment in our community, we create an environment for the presence of God, that when you're in the presence of God in that place of corporate worship, the corporate anointing of God is manifested. And when they left the holy place, they left not according to division. Well, when you've been in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God, you're undone about self. There's no self-righteousness and self-centeredness. In fact, A.W. Tozer said that self is the opaque veil that hides the face of God from us. We need to get away from our self-absorption, get away from our self-righteousness, and get back to a place saying, God, this is bigger than any of us. We need the presence of God. In fact, when you think about the first time, the point of first reference of the word worship in Scripture, it's not in the context of singing or instruments, as wonderful as that is. It's in the context of simple obedience to God. We are the living worshipers. And we need to not just walk in that place of prayer and intercession, but we need to say, God, how can you use me to be a light that shines in the midst of darkness? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that we are to be dispensers or sprayers of the fragrance of heaven everywhere we go. And I get a picture of this, and I apologize if this sounds sacrilegious in the church, but the reality is that when you go to a restaurant or go to places, sometimes in the bathrooms you see those dispensers every few minutes. They're put in places that potentially can become stinky. That Febreze or whatever comes out of those machines to bring a fragrance in a stinky place. We're called to be, 2 Corinthians 2:14, the sprayers of the fragrance of heaven everywhere we go. So we need a defibrillation of heart. We need to be those who recognize in this battle for the soul of our nation that we need to impact the community with the personality of Christ. To be saturated in his presence so that wherever we go, we become the fragrance of his presence. Now, when Jesus first came up to Peter and some of the disciples, they were trying to wash their nets. They'd been fishing all night long. And Jesus says, cast on the other side. Now, you have to understand, Peter was a professional fisherman. He's thinking, I know how to catch fish. I've been doing this my whole life. And this guy comes up, he doesn't even know, and says, cast on the other side. And nevertheless, he casts on the other side. And begins to bring in so many fish, his nets begin to rip open, that he had to ask for his neighbors for help, net partners. And they brought the fish in, and Jesus said, become a fishers of men. 3+ years later, so much has been going on. The fodder of the day, the media of the day was saying all these different things. And they were even talking about what the media of the day was saying, and the fodder of the day as they're walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus appears, and they don't even recognize it's Jesus after the resurrection. And he says, what's your problem? And in my vernacular, they said, dude, where you been? Have you been watching the news? We can become so consumed with the negative news that we forget we need to hear the voice of God and the news of heaven. The story is told from heaven if we yield to heaven to be an expression of heaven and the fragrance of heaven in the midst of a world that's a mess. God wants us to walk in that simple obedience. So, of course, they invited him in when he's about to leave, and they have communion together. They get revelation during communion. As they're communing with God, they get a revelation. Their eyes are opened. And then we see the suddenly that happens soon thereafter when they're tearing at the upper room in Acts chapter 2. But let me step back for a minute, because in the book of Luke, the first time Jesus comes and calls them to be officials of men and casts them aside. The second time after the resurrection, Jesus shows up. They're fishing. But let me just make a point on this, because a lot of times under pressure, because pressure magnifies, we have a tendency to begin to go back to do things the way we used to do them, rather than doing it the way God says to do it. We should not be a knee-jerk reaction people, but we bring the manifest presence of God wherever we are. So the second time when Jesus comes and after the resurrection says, cast on the other side. And again, I can imagine deja vu for Peter. Where have I heard that before? And he says, I've been fishing all night. I know what I'm doing. But see, Jesus had originally 3 years before said, become fishers of men, make disciples of nations. But instead, after the pressure came, rather than doing what God called him to do, he goes back to doing what he was comfortable doing and fishing in the natural. And so, nevertheless, he casts on the side, the fishing net, the nets begin to rip open again. He asks for his net partners, his neighbors to help. They bring in so many fish, but this time they counted 153 fish, and Jesus was already getting the barbecue ready, getting the fish pit ready. They counted 153 fish. I always wondered, if I believe that the Word of God is infallible, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, why 153 fish? So I looked at some commentary. I'll tell you the one I like. 153 fish was representing the known nations of the world at the time. So without saying it, Jesus was saying, I told you to be a fishers of men. You see, with one fishing pole, we catch a fish. But as a mended net cast together by the Lord, we can bring in a greater harvest more than ever before. So we have to get past the sniffing, the growling, the checking, preach the kingdom. Because I believe that it's time for us to be a church united, but to be united, it comes from the incarnational presence of God. Not even the worship or being enamored with celebrity, but really worshiping the one worthy of our worship just because. In that place, we get the revelation of the Lord and we become what God calls us to be. Now, what happened in Acts chapter 2 looked like a suddenly. And yet it's not a suddenly to God. Over 80 something times we see the word suddenly in scripture. But was a suddenly to us was not a suddenly to God. God had brought all the known nations of the world again into Jerusalem for Pentecost. They were required to be there. So they had representation from all the known nations of the world, so that when the 120 were in the upper room and what we thought was a suddenly came, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, every nation was already impacted because of it. So what God is about to do, if the church recognizes our knee posture in our private posture, so we have a public influence and we recognize we have to cross our racial, denominational, generational lines to meet at the cross of Christ, because it's the centrality of the cross. It's to be Christ-centric, because we have that in common. Even in our differences, we have more in common in Christ than we have that divides us. And as a result, the world will see and they'll be drawn to what we represent, because we represent not self, but the kingdom of God here and now, so that the personality of Christ could impact the culture. We've heard of the seven mountains, and Lauren Cunningham and Bill Bride and Lance Wall, now so many others have coined those terms. But whatever you call them, seven spheres of the culture, seven mountains. In fact, some of us believe there's more than seven, because I don't like being lumped into the religious mountain, because there's something different about those of us who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is built on relationships, first with God, then with one another. And the increase, or the depth of influence we have in our generation, in our community, or the generations to come, is determined on the level of those relationships with God and with one another. The world will never find an answer, because it's so divided and polarized like never before. We can try to come up with good ideas of how to be reconciled, how to come in unity, but we won't be in unity till we come to the place of recognizing, like Micah chapter 4, that we will come, all people gathered in the mountain of the Lord. That means all ethnicities, all ethnos, all backgrounds, that we would gather together, feeling welcome together, put aside our weapons of warfare against each other away, and turn them into harvesting tools together. Then the outcast, the lame, and the sick shall become a strong nation. I believe that it's time for our nation to become strong again. It's time for the church to recognize the impact that we have when we recognize that it's the personality of Christ through us that will define revival in our day. That we won't just sing about it, we won't just talk about it, we don't just write about it, but we get our heart posture right in private, so that in public we have an influence that opens and changes the souls of people around us. Now, I'm not talking about we have to go and preach on every street corner. I'm saying we need to be a tangible expression of word, gesture, thought, and action, that people see something different about us, that even those who disagree with us and are adamantly opposed to us, that we can still show civility in our public discourse, even in our strong disagreements. Speak the truth in love. Season with grace, but speak the truth nonetheless. Our true legacy doesn't come from sermons we preach, of how many people follow us on Twitter, on social media. It's not the size of our church or our ministries. The lives we live before we enter the portals of eternity determine the influence we have when we leave for the next generation. This is our moment. This is our time. It's not time to be discouraged, but a time to be encouraged in the Lord. And I want to encourage Bunny, and as we need net partners. We need to be those who partner together as a net cast by the Lord, so we can see greater influence, because ultimately we all want to see the soul of our nation changed and to come back to the Lord. So I want to encourage you with this. Don't listen just to the fodder of the media of the world. Let's draw near to hear the voice of the Lord, so we can then be an influence in those spheres of the culture, in the political arena, in the education arena. We need the manifest presence of God again in the land. Amen.
Were you not blessed by that message? I love this man's heart. I cannot say how much I love Doug's heart for the body of Christ and for the kingdom of God. And it was just such an honor to have him at the conference.
Absolutely. Yeah, I took so many notes. I don't even know what all to share, but just the main thing that stuck with me was he talked about simple obedience is worship. And that's something, honestly, the Lord's been teaching me is I cannot just give lip service to the Lord. That's not what he's looking for. And something actually I've been learning about recently is what it means to be a slave to Christ. And a slave, their whole heart posture is one of obedience. And I think that's really what Doug was talking about. Because as we obey the Lord, that is going to lead into how can I love you as a fellow member? How can I be... How can I serve you, right? If you're the foot and I'm the hand, how can I work with you to honor the head, Christ Jesus? But as a slave, you think about in Bible times, a slave was, it's not how we think about a slave today. It's someone who was, who loved their master. Like there was this beautiful bond. They actually had quarters in their master's home, and it was way better to be a slave than a hired servant. So I'm just going to share that with you guys. Something I learned recently is so many Christians today think that they are hired servants and they don't see themselves as slaves. And I've heard this from my youth pastor.
Yeah, they don't see themselves as sons and daughters.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And even like the prodigal son story, he came back and he was like, I'll take me as even a hired servant, you know, but the father wrapped him in that robe and that ring and said, you have a place with me. But you see the disciples, they address themselves in the epistle letters as I am a bond servant to Christ. I am a slave to Christ. Like that's how they identified themselves with the Lord.
Yes.
And so I just love how he hit on obedience. That is worship as a slave to Christ. That is my first calling. And that's where my joy is found.
That's so good. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to know your identity in Christ, you want to really see yourself as a son and daughter, all of Doug Stringer's books are incredible. We talked at the beginning about Leadership Awakening. This book, Mending the Net, I highly recommend it. He just did an updated version the last year or so of that book that's, I think, 15, 20 years old. But it is an amazing book, and I think it's one of the key books on the unity of the body of Christ that we need to consume. So y'all check that out. And remember, our conference this year, November 3rd and 4th, Cottonwood Creek Church, Michelle Bachman, Kelly Shackelford, Michael Cloud, Billy Hollowell will be with us. Cameron's going to speak. I'm fitting her in. And it's going to be incredible, guys. Awesome. Check out all of the speakers. Rafael Cruz will be with us. Senator Brian Hughes, State Representative Stephanie Borowitz from Pennsylvania. We're talking about government and ministry leaders coming together around prayer, worship, inspiration, and education. Join us November 3rd and 4th. Don't miss it. We'll see you then. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.